Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
No, me out there. I don't want to talk. I don't want nothing.
Focused.
Right. So he's asking me questions and I'm just answering him with how much like yardage he's got left. You know, so like he'd be like, oh, so who are your friends in the business? I'm like, you're 121 out. He's like, oh, so what are your daughters doing? And I'm like, you got 152 into the wind. let's just keep playing. I don't want to talk to you about my life. Let's just play. Get this over with. I mean, I almost quit. There were two holes left, and I said, I'm ready to quit. And I'm glad I didn't, because I went par to end the round, of course, to bring me, make me want to come back, but I haven't. But anyway. So
wow.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo.
Therapy.
Yeah, Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Talk Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you sent me a video over your couple of days off of the foul ball that went into the suite that we were at the game on July 11th. And it's just clear as day. It's unbelievable. You could see the foul ball going over the net, into our suite, and then hitting your nephew Randy on the thigh, and then the two of us just like laughing our asses off, and me getting the ball and handing it to his daughter. So I guess they film every foul ball.
I think they have to. I think every Major League Baseball park, I believe, has to, because if something does go wrong, they have to have video evidence of whatever happened. So I don't know what the technology is. I don't know if it is driven by technology where they can follow the ball wherever it goes. But it was interesting that they had it. I got it sent to me, and it was fun watching it, because it's exactly how you and I explained it.
Yeah.
Like, we knew that there were no kids that were going to get hit. I yelled as the ball was coming, because I saw it right off the bat, because I'm not sitting there with my back to the game. I'm actually watching the game.
Yep.
And you and I are sitting right there on the aisles, and it's really lucky Randy was standing where he was.
Yeah, because that could have gone into the other area where the kids were, and he just blocked it.
And I'm telling you, that ball was coming hard. Holy God, that was coming hard. And I think we both looked and said, there's no kid that's going to get hit.
Right, so then we just moved out of the way, and then Randy caught it right on the upper thigh, and he had some stitches in his leg.
I just saw him leg pressing, I want to say, like 495 pounds yesterday.
God.
I think it was 395.
Man.
It's either 395 or 495.
What?
So it hit a guy's thigh that, you know, he's been working on his thighs. He's like Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, he's thick, man. He's looking thick again.
He looks good. Looks healthy.
Yeah, I mean, thick in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. He's looking, yes, he does look healthy, and it helped him out last year to stay healthy. So we'll see if it works again now that he's got that money. Stu's on Long Island. What's going on, Stu?
Oh, yeah. I'm a member of the Village Club of Sands Point. And when I first joined, I didn't know many people, but Stu Gatz's father was a member. And I got hooked up playing with him. And we're talking. He's telling me about his son. And then he said, sort of like embarrassingly, he said, and they call him Stu Gatz. And so he felt a little...
What does Stu Gatz mean? What is that?
I think it's like, isn't it Italian slang for penis?
Something like that. I don't
know.
But
his
father was a nice guy, but I'm wondering if that's why he chose that club. But he didn't met. I mean, his father was a member like 10 years ago, but and I don't think anybody probably remembers him. And Austin, by the way, is a great guy. He's also an assistant pro there, so... And the whole staff there is great, just so you know.
No, they were.
Did you like the club?
I love the club. I love the course.
The pros are all great there.
No, the staff was awesome. The club was great.
So, Stu, is there a private club, or do you have to be like a Port Washington resident?
No, well, it's owned by the Village of Sands Point.
Okay.
And so if you're a resident of Sands Point, well, you're automatically a member, but not for golf. They have everything. They have tennis, platform tennis, pool, you name it, pickleball. But if you're a, but you pay probably half the price if you're a if you live in the Village of Sands Point.
I see.
But yeah. Most of the members are from Port Washington, because it's very close and they pay full price, though. There's even a waiting list to get in there. It's a great club.
No, it is, and I don't want anybody there or anybody listening to think that I didn't love the club. I did. It was a beautiful place. I want to go back there.
The person you played with.
Yeah, I want to go back there and enjoy it without him. I really do. And that signature hole, that par three that he ruined for me, I want to go back there. I told Austin afterwards, the assistant pro, I said, I got to come back and play that hole again without him because he ruined it for me. So I'd love to go back and play again. Yeah, so it says Stu Gatz is an Italian mob slang lingo, Italian term that refers to male genitalia.
Okay,
there you go. It is used to describe an idiot or a jerk.
Well, it seems like the shoe fits, according to you, anyway.
Well, I mean, listen.
I don't really know him that well.
People
were asking me, do you know him? I said, I know him a little bit, but I don't know him that well.
I don't dislike him. He's a small doses guy. So we did two shows last year, and it was fine. Four shows and a round of golf was too much. It's just too much. Like I described, like it's when you're eating something and you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then you have just too much of it and you're like, oh, and your stomach starts to hurt. And you're like, God, I ate too much of that. That's the way I felt at the end. I was like, just had too much of them. I mean, when I left the studio and got in the car, it was like, it was as if I took a backpack of boulders off. And then it was just like, I'm free now.
Driving in before the show.
Yeah.
Were you lamenting the fact that you said yes? By Friday? I'm assuming by Friday, yes?
Because that was Thursday we played.
Because you played Thursday, which intensified the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought about faking a stomach virus. I thought about just saying, man, I got the
called up and said you had, COVID.
Norovirus.
People still wear masks.
No, I would not fake a stomach virus. But yes, I was. And then every morning he called because he couldn't get into the building or forgot. What floor is it again? I was like, you've been here for 4 years.
See, to me, that's on purpose. That's total Stu Gatz.
No, I found him talking to the security person on my way out the first day. He was trying to figure out how to get in here.
Yeah, right. And then the next day, same thing. Day after that. Oh, and then, oh, God, on Friday, he brought an intern to film everything. So just like when you thought he had reached the ultimate level of annoyance, then you've got somebody in the breaks now filming everything. And it got to the point where I told him, you know me, I'm very, very, like, whatever you need for content, I'm fine with, whatever. I told him, I was like, just, can you leave me out of this? Please. Whatever you got to do for your show, fine. I can't, in the breaks now, after spending 4 days with you, also be on. I can't.
You know, for some reason, Olivero feels like he owes him some stuff, I guess. Gives him some airtime, which is fine. But sounds like to me he's trying to hitch his trailer to you.
Yeah, I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. So he doesn't want to do mornings. He doesn't like mornings. So what he's identified is he's identified the most relatable person here who doesn't have the job he wants. So it's not that he necessarily likes me more than anybody else. He's just figured like, all right, I want to do afternoons. Boomer's not going to give me the time of day. Like, so Gio's the guy that I'm going to hitch my wagon to try to get in.
That's what's going on.
Yeah. I figured, if I were
Brandon, I'd be annoyed by that as well.
And sell his book, apparently.
Right, and sell his book. He doesn't get that. I will give him credit for because he didn't get paid a cent to do any of these shows. So he's like, let me just come on and promote my book while I'm here.
Yeah, right. So he's promoting his book. Smart.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, but that's
and he had to give you 16 hours.
Yeah, but that's what it is. Like, it's not like, oh, man, like, he, it's cool that he likes me or he's complimentary to me.
No, he's
identified the person that he believes could help him the most. And it's the job that he doesn't want. He doesn't want. But if I were the afternoon guy, he'd be stabbing me in the back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, but at least he's open about it.
He is, and I did say that.
He's wide open about it. He's not hiding anything because many people in this business, hide that crap.
Well, and that's exactly what we said last week. I said, if anything, I'd give you credit for the fact that there's a lot of backstabbing sleazeballs in this business that won't say these things out loud. You say them out loud.
Yeah, but I mean, so let me ask you this question. Since he's using you and he's hooking his trailer to your wagon, or no, he's hooking his wagon, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the saying is. Let's say Olivero, Ryan Hurley, the brand ambassador, call you in and say, we want to get your thoughts on Stu Gatz. What are your thoughts on Stu Gatz?
For what?
For work here at WFAN.
Where?
I don't know where. Anywhere.
As a PD again, or?
No, as an on-air talent. Well, like, he doesn't watch baseball games. He doesn't watch football games. Doesn't watch anything.
All right. He didn't while he was here. It doesn't mean that if he's full-time, he wouldn't. I think maybe he'd fall into a... He'd have to do some sort of prep if he was here full-time. And plus, too, like, he was just counting on me to do everything. You know what I'm saying? Because he's used to that, because Dan's done everything in his career, Lebatard. And he just sits there. So then with me, he just does the same thing. He just rides the sidecar. Whatever you bring up, I'll laugh and try to add to it. So if... I would say that... In a business these days that it's very hard to get attention, he gets attention and he stands out, whether it's good or bad. And I think that because athletes nowadays that are retired and want to get in the business, probably you don't have as much access to them because they've made much more money in their careers than when you started doing this, as we've talked about many times. So if you're going to make some noise and make some headlines and want to deal with that, then sure, I would give him a positive recommendation.
Do you think that he, like Tommy Lugauer, is a generational talent?
No.
No,
he's not a generational talent.
No, he's not. But no. Tommy Lugauer is.
Well, he thinks he is. I like Tommy. I don't know.
I would love Tommy.
I don't know if generational talent, but I mean, I like him.
But that's one of the guys that would be fighting to take one of these Tiki or Evans job,
right?
Yeah. So do you think Tommy's trying to do that, but just isn't doing it quite?
This is why I'm the future. This is why I'm a generational talent.
No, I mean guys. I think all of them are. I mean, I think that yes, even Evan, who's sitting there working with Sean. We used to work with C-Mac. He's working with Tommy. All those guys want his job.
But don't Tommy and Sal and those guys, don't they like stick out because of their hot takes?
They do.
I mean, look at Sal right now. I mean,
yeah, he's always trending.
Sal should thank Frank, assuming that Frank is okay.
Mm-hmm. For getting his name out there.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. It really is amazing because of Mike and the Mad Dog and a lot of people growing up listening to that are now my age, a lot of people, especially the sports fans around here, always envision like the afternoons. I want to be the afternoon drive host. Like I feel like Sal, BT, C-Mac, because he worked with Mike, like all they all want, and Stu Gatz, same thing. They all want the afternoon drive is the thing. And then Evan's sitting there, and he's got all these sharks swimming around.
Poor Evan. I feel bad for Evan.
But he doesn't even realize.
I'm a loser.
He doesn't even realize.
Evan does is show up and does his job, and he does a good job. He's a little weirdo, but, he does a good job. the job.
Yeah. I'm getting moist.
See, I mean,
I will say, and this reminds me as Rascona's hitting some drops.
Yes.
The biggest job in the next 3 years, assuming something horrible doesn't happen to somebody, that will be open around here, where it'll be the toughest to replace, is when Eddie Scazzeri retires in 2 years.
Brian Rascona's doing a good job right now.
And
thank you, sir.
Well, Fliegelman's done a nice job as well. We got to see, you know, people have been through.
I think we all have solid guys that can do it.
Yeah. But that is going to be when that
the guy's
job,
on the other side of the glass.
It's impossible for everybody. Like, there's a drop we were looking for earlier in Eddie's system. It took us combined like 7 minutes to find it just because the way he labels everything.
Yeah. It's impossible.
Just nobody else on earth. He calls it job security. Outside of his mind, you can't find it.
Well, his job security is two things. One, that those folders that you can't find, and the other is that he won't accept a raise.
He swears that's not true, but I like when you bring that up.
Yeah.
All right, Boomer and G on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry, you want to play golf today?
You can't ask, no, not now.
What do you mean no? You never say yes.
These are the invitations I get from
okay.
you.
Oh.
Someone canceled, there's an opening. You want to play in 3 hours? I don't live by you. How am okay. I supposed to play golf today?
Well, someone canceled. Do you want to play?
No. I would love to. I can't now.
Okay.
No. Had you asked me yesterday, I might have been able to do it.
Just don't. All right.
And okay. I do appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
But not on 3 hours' notice, not even, probably 2 hours' notice. It was like the Met game. It was a very nice invite. But it was like the game was at 1 and you asked me at 9 a.m. You want to bring your kids to the game? How am I supposed to get them here exactly?
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
Kind of painted him in a corner with that one.
That was tough.
I don't even know if it's going to be nice out today. It's been raining.
Today's not great.
Yeah, not a nice day.
I think you'll get it in, though. No, I think you'll be able to play.
You know, maybe I'll cancel. It's all right.
Or you could cancel. Could do that too.
You playing in New Jersey by any chance? Make it more convenient for Jerry?
No, I was thinking about playing up in
the Hamptons.
No, that's out in the Hamptons. You know, play up a little bit north here in Westchester.
Okay. That would have been great, but I don't think I could probably play in this Montreal Expos hoodie in my jeans.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I'll buy you some new clothes.
I'm not going and buying new clothes.
Just be like Stugatz over the pro shop and buy all your clothes.
That story is hilarious.
And he was supposed to go to a hotel to change. He showed up at the golf course in the same clothes he was wearing on the air.
I have a buddy. His name's Andrew Red Vanley.
Okay.
Okay. He's got a great line of clothing. And I asked him if he could send over a yellow shirt and yellow shorts.
The shorts I won't wear.
Would you wear the yellow shirt and the yellow shorts?
Not together, no. I'm not into yellow shorts. But the shirt, yeah. Bring it on.
Okay, I know you love that.
I love a yellow shirt.
Why no yellow shorts?
Yeah.
I don't... The khaki color is fine. I don't like yellow.
Don't think about it is, if you wear the yellow shirt...
I look like Big Bird.
Yeah, no. No.
A fat Big Bird.
No. Would you wear yellow pants?
No.
No.
I would not. Then I would look like Al or Gio at the live show.
Yeah, yes. That's right. And I wore that just for you, Boomer, because I know how much you love yellow.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, red Vanley's good.
Yeah. I was thinking just yellow shorts and yellow shirt for you.
No, but the shirt for sure.
Okay.
I'll wear the shorts. Give me the shorts.
I know you will.
I'll rock those things like you wouldn't believe.
You could wear that yellow shirt with your MC Hammer pants.
Mm-hmm. You really want to do this again?
No.
Fatso.
You're right. You know, I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay. Let's get into the update, huh?
Oh, God help me. I swear. I enjoyed last week. Unplugged.
Me too, actually.
It's pretty good. We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket, order official state lottery games on your phone. Rip through the baseball real quick. Sunday night, Yankees beat the Red Sox, and along the way...
The batter is Jazz Chisholm. The pitch. Swing and a roller right side of the infield. Diving stop Gonzalez from the outfield grass. Throws to first. It's offline, and it's a base hit. The first for Chisholm as a Yankee.
Ah, the first. Yes, good for
Jazz Chisholm.
He came in an 8-2 win as the Yankees beat the Red Sox and won the series. How about that? The Yanks won a series. Not too bad. The latest of Yankees, Jazz Chisholm. You guys were talking about this with a caller in terms of third base. Here he was. He says, bring it on.
I mean, I went out there and played center field for the first time last year, and I felt like it was pretty difficult at first, but I just feel like I could go and play anywhere and help my team win, you know what I mean? So for me, it's just going somewhere, as especially a winning team, and they're asking me to go somewhere to help them win. I'm definitely going to go out there.
That's a baseball player.
That is great. I love that. Now, why did Wine get rid of him? You know, I'll tell you why he was probably a problem down there is because they were losing. They have no shot at a World Series, no shot at a playoffs, nothing. And guys like him, if they really, truly want to be a part of a winning organization, then will adhere to the winning organization's way of doing things.
Was he a problem, though, down there?
You had heard there had been some clubhouse stuff.
And okay. Then,
ever since when he dumped that water on that female reporter, stuff started coming out about him being a little bit of an issue in the clubhouse. But I don't know.
But
I'm
now,
not locked in.
Just think now it's a new lease on life for him. It's a way, you know, especially if Derek Jeter is going to endorse this, which supposedly he did. CeCe Sabathia supposedly did. Then he's going to find a happy home here. And he's going to be here for at least 2 years.
No doubt.
And the other thing is what's crazy is they would deal a guy with two more years of arbitration. I mean, he's 27 or 26 this year.
Hey, good player, too.
Yeah,
really good player.
I don't know. Isn't that the type of player when you're the Marlins you want to hang on to?
You would think. For their one run every 8 years.
Unless he was some sort of issue for the manager or something going on behind the scenes that we did not see.
Yeah.
Maybe he enjoyed the Miami nightlife. Who
Maybe.
Knows? You never know.
Not like there's anything to do here.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just... Now here you have pressure to perform, as all these players around here are finding out. And if you're not performing and you're lazy and you're out partying, people will know about that and they'll get pissed.
Well, Carlos Rodon pitched well last night, 6 1/3 for the win. Yankees, Phillies tonight. We don't usually play him, but because he's talking about Stanton coming back, here's Aaron Boone.
Excited to get him back in there. You know, I think you can start to dream on, you know, what our lineup could be and the length of it.
And like it had when they were doing quite well.
Length of the lineup.
A lot of length. A lot of depth.
A lot of length.
That is very true.
A lot of flexibility, Jerry.
Flexibility, yes. Meantime, the Braves beat the Mets 9-2. You got the three-run homer from Matt Olson. Ryan Stanek came in, gave up a home run to Orlando Arcia, and then...
Stanek set from the belt. First pitch. Riley swings, and it's a high fly to left. Gamble back to the track at the wall. Looks up. This one is gone over the party deck.
Ryan Stanek, you suck. Give it up, goddamn mother.
Yes, Frank. Yes, God. Yes, he did. He was upset with Sal for his take, as we know, because on Friday, Sal had the post that the wild card race is over. And then moments later, you had Kodai Senga get hurt. And so after the way the weekend went, with Saturday and Sunday being a whole lot of nothing and two losses for the Mets, Frank went after Sal.
Sal, what kind of you f***? You mother f***? You f***?
We shall see. More on that, of course, with Sal and BT coming up at 10 o'clock. In this game yesterday, David Peterson gave up the four runs. He had the bad fourth inning, but there was some thought that he had some forearm tightness or injury. So he was asked, is there anything going on we need to know about?
No, I'm good. Yeah, I wanted to go back out for the sixth. I felt good physically. Yeah, there was nothing to it.
So that, I don't know, was made up. I'm not sure. Here was Pete Alonso. Give the Braves pitchers credit for the last couple days.
I mean, they just didn't really come in the zone all that much. And when they did, they did a great job picking corners. And, I mean, shoot, they did a hell of a job executing these, especially these past two games.
Mets and Twins tonight. Jose Quintana to start at 7:10. Minnesota comes in 58-46 on the season. We get to some football here locally. We've got Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers on NFL Network. So first things first, we get to the Jordan Love contract, which we know was just like Tua's, massive. Rodgers was asked his thoughts, again, NFL Network over the weekend.
I want to give a shout out to Jordan Love becoming the highest paid player in the NFL.
There you go.
J-Love, don't spend it all in one place. But if you do, I still have a house in Green Bay that's up for sale.
Okay, fair enough. So then Love was on NFL Network the next day, asked for a response.
Do you have a message for Aaron about your real estate plans with that new contract?
Tell him you buy it on the low.
Give me a deal for it. Nah, A-Rod, I won't be buying your house, man, but I'll go check on it, make sure it's well taken care of. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to hook me up with a deal, like you said. Yeah.
Here's
a guy who has a 9-8 record, 64% completion, 4,100 yards. They are banking on his future. That's exactly what they're doing. Because there's no way in the world that his performance would tell you that he deserves that money.
He made it in Dallas and then played well in San Francisco.
Yes, he did.
Would you not agree?
Games, which, and listen, he played his ass off. I'm not saying he didn't, but they are paying him for what they believe is going to be a really bright future. Now, they've seen him for 4 years, so they know what they have. They probably like his personality. His teammates probably love him, and that's why he got paid. Mm-hmm. So, they're banking on his future. I think the Dallas Cowboys are trying to figure out what is the immediate future of Dak Prescott.
Correct.
So if you think about it, Aaron Rodgers has this house. It's a chateau out there in Wisconsin. It's worth $8.4 million. Two garages, eight bedrooms, sauna, wine cellar, over five acres. If a Green Bay Packer is not buying that house, who is?
A cheese tycoon.
Like, honestly. That's why it's still on the market 2 years later. I mean, his teammates are like, I'm not going to move into Aaron's place. That's weird.
You know, it could be bought by a Green Bay Packer fan, right? Somebody who loves the Packers and needs a place to stay when the Packers have a home game.
For $8 million.
I can think of a buddy of mine that could do that.
Come on.
We live in two different worlds.
Well, I've told you this many times. My buddy has the 50-yard lines box right there at Lambeau. It's an amazing box. It's like two boxes combined, and it is amazing. But he doesn't live in Green Bay. They live down.
Well, send him the listing.
Aaron Rodgers should. Fleek said this. He should make it an Airbnb situation for Packer fans that could go in there for a night or two and stay in Aaron Rodgers' chateau,
and they would pay because he's got to pay people to upkeep it. Got to think about he's got to pay taxes. Probably not very much, considering what he's probably playing here in New Jersey now.
Yes.
But yeah, he's got to pay taxes, got to pay upkeep, got to keep the house heated in the wintertime, got to keep it cold in the summertime.
Right. All the snow plowing that has to go on there.
Yeah, who's cutting the grass? Who's taking care of the place?
A lot.
That's true. All on his payroll.
I got to believe, I'm going to say, taxes, upkeep, I'm trying to think, a per monthly basis. It's Green Bay. It's not New Jersey.
Well, the upkeep's got to be $700-800 a month, doesn't it, out there?
Look, he's got 8 acres. It's on 8 acres.
Five.
Oh, I thought you said 5 acres. Is it all? Eight. Is it all groomed?
5.32 acre.
Does it look like it's all groomed?
Not all of it. No.
Not all of it. Okay, but still, probably a couple acres at least. Does he have a pool?
Yes.
Pool's got to be open and closed.
Indoor swimming pool.
Indoor. And a hot tub. Indoor swimming pool.
Yeah.
So that thing's open year round. That's got to be taken care of. What about electric? I don't know. Does he have any solar panels on his house, or does he have a wind turbine off his roof?
I don't see any of that.
Just heating up all, just probably all
gas or electric stove. Gee,
I don't see that either.
Central air or window units.
I think it's window.
I'm thinking, man, indoor pool. That's got to be a lot upkeep. I'm thinking somewhere.
There's got to be a few thousand a month.
$6,000 a month if you take into account, maybe $7,000 a month if you take into account taxes and everything else.
If Eddie was here, put my salary.
Yeah.
It's nice that the house in Wisconsin and Green Bay never go to with your indoor swimming pool that some guy's taking care of that you haven't been in since 2005. Must
be
nice.
I'll say $5,000. I'll say $5,000 a month. That's what I'll say.
Ooh.
And Eddie's got, you know, Shorehaven Wealth Partners.
And he's retiring in 2 years, so he's got his all set up.
That would be a great place for him.
It's less, by the way, you keep saying in 2 years. We're at a year and 9 months now.
Yeah, I know.
We're well beyond.
The fight is on, by the way, for who's taking over. It's the summertime. Is the time for these guys to show us what they got.
It's hard for me. I have a couple that I would like to have the job, but it's tough because everyone's going to want it.
You have a couple that you'd like to have the job?
There's a couple of, I would say, favorites.
Wow.
That you would say.
Okay.
And then you wonder who's going to come out of the woodwork now and ask for the replacement shifts to kind of make their mark.
You know what?
I'm getting a phone call.
Stugatz. Right. He wants the job.
He wants the job.
He wants the job.
Yeah. Imagine him in there with Al for 4 hours.
No. It'd be a murder.
There might be.
You know, I'll make that decision when the time comes. Who's that remind you of?
God, any number of people. I don't, would both you guys want that job that are in there now? Is it something you'd want to do, even though you want to be talk show hosts?
I work overnight, so take a guess.
Anything to improve his life.
You got a lot of different things going on in your life, Scones.
It depends. It depends on, you know, monetary reasons, obviously.
Well, what happens to the bread delivery route?
Well, I would just leave, and whatever equity I have in the business will be paid to me when the business is sold.
Okay.
I've not that I've thought about this already, but I have.
you're going to be the Aaron Rodgers of bread delivery routes.
Oh, okay.
Trying to sell something that somebody's going to try to give you 50 cents on the dollar for?
No, absolutely not. No, these routes actually sell fast. Actually, it would probably be another route guy trying to expand his business. Another guy that owns another route in the facility.
They do sell fast. As someone that's always worried about being fired and figuring out what I do next, I look at routes all the time.
Hello. Yeah,
they do come that's and me. Go quickly. Yeah, no, they do. They don't last.
Yeah, they sell quick. Yeah. And usually they sell before you even put them on, typically.
All right.
Word of mouth thing.
Fleegs is 100% in.
How many do you think, what do you think the applicant pool is in terms of numbers? And I don't mean people from the outside. Ooh, it usually, I mean like legit.
We got, well,
opportunity.
Fleegs, Roscona, Zoo.
Right. Would you think that's it from internal?
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be others that would want to do it.
I'm talking about realistic. Because someone from the outside that hasn't done it, I don't think either of you.
What about Pete Bellotti moving over? He's probably thinking, I've been here for a while. I run the board over there. Why can't I run the board over here?
That's a possibility, sure.
Been at FAN.
So that's four. Is that about all you can think of right now?
Billy Jock alone.
Okay, but again, Pete and Billy haven't done it.
Pete's done it over there. I worked with him for 3 years on Geo and Jones. He knows what he's doing.
All right, so that would make sense.
We have someone new doing it for the first time in a while this Friday.
Who's that?
Rami.
Oh, Rami. Yeah, but he's got no shot.
He's got no shot.
I mean, he's just got here. You guys have been here forever. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's no knock on him and his ability. It's just that he's at the end of the line.
I think me and Fleegs were around the same time we got here.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, the thing about it is it's like bringing in a wide receiver. Like, you know, maybe Rami's like Malik Nabers. He's playing.
Could be. Let me ask you this.
You never know.
I suppose, but I mean, that would be a major jumping of people who have been here for years.
Is this announcement made? Memorial Day weekend show.
Meaning like a audience. a year ahead or
no?
Or when,
oh, when that, no, yeah. I mean Eddie's last day, even though he's not going to be working that day, but that is his last official day with the show. Do you make the announcement that day?
Yeah,
I think so. The loser is running the board while the winner is with you guys down the shore.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
In true FAN fashion.
Exactly.
Just crush somebody's soul.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm not working with some slap. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, what no slap? Way. What slap are you talking? Like,
I'm just saying, if there's a slap that somebody thinks is going to be sitting in that seat over there, that ain't happening.
I don't think you're going to get any slaps.
I'm not getting a slap.
Yeah, I don't think
like,
so.
There's not a slap in there now.
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the Zoo, I feel like he's going to be in the mix, but...
But if he wants to be on the air, I don't want a guy that's sitting in that seat that wants to be on the air.
Everybody does,
right, that's why well, then, Eddie was unique.
You're out. You're all out.
I think you could still have a want to be on the air, but
I know what you think.
Know
I
your
really
position.
Care.
All right. All right.
I think Boomer's right and a genius, and he should get what he wants.
You sound very good, Fleeks.
All right.
And you have distinguished yourself over the last few years that we've worked together, which seems to be like 10 now, right?
Yeah, I started working on this show in 2016.
Yeah.
Fleeks is dying. Dying to get off the overnight.
I started working on filling in on this show before I even got the overnight.
Wow. Look at him. He's just putting his resume out there for everybody.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
One of the reasons I came all this way.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got, I thought the trade deadline all this time was July 31st. It's tomorrow, July 30th. So, like, there's even a promo and for this show where one of us is saying, we're going to know by July 31st what David Stearns is going to do.
We will know by July 31st.
No,
that's
a true statement, actually. Right.
When you guys come in the morning of July 31st.
Yes.
Yeah, true. Because it'll be 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Exactly. And they're not done yet. And look at the amount of players that have already been moved.
I know.
It's significant.
I mean, and this is what baseball wants when it comes to keeping as many markets involved as possible. I mean, years ago, if you were a team just a couple of games above 500 when you could only basically win your division to get in, you would never have any of this. And you got teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates that are involved and the Mets who got off to a miserable start, they're involved. So this is what you want, but it also makes it more and more difficult for these general managers to be able to get these deals done. And then the prices keep going up because it's a supply and demand situation with a lot of teams in on it.
Well, it's a smart business move. Just forget about the game for a second. And I know there are purists out there that would love to have it the way it used to be. But, you know, in this day and age, in a world of trying to keep people involved and paying attention, like I told you this morning when I came in here, I said the greatest news that I could actually even have is the fact that both teams are still in it and are making trades to stay in it. That's what we want. That's our business.
Yep. And we were talking about in the beginning of the season when the Mets were so bad and looking like they were going nowhere that the trade deadline was going to signify the end of Pete Alonso as a New York Met. Well, of course, that's not going to happen. He's going to be here for the remainder of the year. Has to be. And they're adding. They're buying.
Mean, could they trade, like I say, a Starling Marte who is almost ready to come back? Could they trade him to somebody for something? I don't know.
But you got to think, though. Is a contender and a contender going to make a deal? Probably not.
Unless they're trading what they believe is surplus in one area and trying to fill another area.
Maybe. But those deals don't seem to happen a lot. So, you're not going to send Starling Marte to a team that's out of it. They're not going to want that.
No, you may send them to a team that's in it in the American League that has a surplus of whatever the Mets feel like they need. You know,
okay.
like a pitcher.
All right.
Like a, you know, a relief pitcher or something. Who knows? There's all these possibilities. And it's up to David Stearns to try to manage those difficulties and possibilities to keep the team relevant. And I think he owes it to the players, quite frankly. He owes it to Francisco Lindor. He owes it to Jeff McNeil and Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Alvarez and Luis Severino to, you know, this is a team that could have quit, and they didn't, which is a testament to Carlos Mendoza as well, by the way.
Yes, and getting a starting pitcher now is on that list when it never was with the Kodai Senga injury on Friday night. So that's something that David Stearns was probably thinking, all right, well, at least we got Senga coming back, and it's adding to the rotation, like you always said, and making a big trade at the trade deadline, and now he's gone.
Here's the thing I do know about David Stearns, and I talked to somebody that has worked with him and somebody who knows him, that he's a guy that kind of keeps to himself, doesn't really make major proclamations, does not get involved with a lot of the players personally. He tries to be, you know, looking at it from, you know, the 10,000 feet that you need to look at your team and be realistic about what your opportunities are. But here in New York, it's a little bit different than being in Milwaukee. I'm not saying that the fans aren't passionate there. They are passionate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many more fans here and so many more fans that are able to get their opinions out. And, you know, like I always say that this radio station speaks to so many people, and it's a voice for so many people, that the people that are running their particular organization sometimes get sidetracked because of that.
True.
And have gone down the drain because they have. But because of the way he operates, he's not going to come up here and sit in front of a microphone and say, we're going to try to win championships every year, and we're going to see the glass half full, or full to the top, or whatever.
Fluid to the top.
He's not going to say any of that stuff.
I saw Brody Van Wagenen post on Instagram a picture of him and Luis Rojas. He goes, different uniforms, same friendship. I thought, what a time in Mets history. Brody Van Wagenen and Luis Rojas.
And another thing that bothered me, and I'm sure it bothered you, and I'm sure it bothered Yankee fans, like again, and this goes back to Yankee baseball playing sound fundamental baseball, which seems not to be a care in the world anymore, running through a stop sign.
Yeah.
At third base, and your name is Juan Soto.
Yep.
So what do you say to Juan Soto?
Nothing.
That's the point. Nah. What do you say?
Hey, man, what happened there? I just decided to run through it.
Okay. No problem. How hard would
it be? Go get him, kid.
So here's the conundrum for, like, one Aaron Boone. And I know that we sit here thinking that we could handle it differently, and it's impossible to even put yourself in Aaron Boone's shoes. Here's a guy that most fans would want and expect the Yankees to retain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you're the manager. And you're trying to keep your job. And you're trying to deal with all these personalities and all these mistakes that are made through a 162-game season. And you can't stand up there in front of the media and start lambasting one of these guys that makes one of these bonehead moves. I mean, so how do you handle that? If you're Aaron Boone, how do you handle that with Juan Soto?
You have a closed-door meeting. Bring him in, just the two of you. Sit him down. So it's not in front of everybody else. You're not embarrassing him. You just get his side of the story and say, hey, listen, I'd like you if you never did that again.
It sounds pretty easy. And ain't that easy.
No, I'm sure it isn't.
It's not. No, and again, you know, so we all see it because everybody's got it on social media. Right? And there he is. He's holding his hands up. Luis Rojas is holding his hands up. Like this.
Yep.
Like you and I can see it. Everybody
can see it. Stop.
And then they highlight Luis Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
They highlight him
in
the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Juan Soto's not even paying attention.
Nope. He's going. Don't care what you say, Luis. I'm Juan Soto. Up yours. I don't think he said any of that, but sounds more interesting than just running through a stop sign.
All right, but again, it's a really tough spot that the managers find themselves in. More so in baseball, maybe. Maybe basketball is probably a little bit worse. But I think baseball is right there when it comes to dealing with these franchise-type players.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got, I thought the trade deadline all this time was July 31st. It's tomorrow, July 30th. So, like, there's even a promo and for this show where one of us is saying Well, we're going to know by July 31st what Davis Stearns is going to do.
We will know by July 31st.
No,
that's a true statement, actually.
Right.
When you guys come in the morning of July 31st.
Yes.
Yeah, true, because it'll be 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Exactly. And they're not done yet. And look at the amount of players that have already been moved.
I know.
It's significant.
I mean, and this is what baseball wants when it comes to keeping as many markets involved as possible. I mean, years ago, if you were a team just a couple of games above 500 when you could only basically win your division to get in, you would never have any of this. And you got teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates that are involved and the Mets who got off to a miserable start, they're involved. So this is what you want, but it also makes it more and more difficult for these general managers to be able to get these deals done. And then the prices keep going up because it's a supply and demand situation with a lot of teams in on it.
Well, it's a smart business move. Just forget about the game for a second. And I know there are purists out there that would love to have it the way it used to be. But, you know, in this day and age, in a world of trying to keep people involved and paying attention, like I told you this morning when I came in here, I said the greatest news that I could actually even have is the fact that both teams are still in it and are making trades to stay in it. That's what we want. That's our business.
Yep. And we were talking about in the beginning of the season when the Mets were so bad and looking like they were going nowhere, that the trade deadline was going to signify the end of Pete Alonso as a New York Met. Well, of course, that's not going to happen. He's going to be here for the remainder of the year. Has to be. And they're adding. They're buying.
Mean, could they trade, like I say, a Starling Marte who is almost ready to come back? Could they trade him to somebody for something? I don't know.
But you got to think, though, is a contender and a contender going to make a deal? Probably not.
Unless they're trading what they believe is surplus in one area and trying to fill another area.
Maybe. But those deals don't seem to happen a lot. So, you're not going to send Starling Marte to a team that's out of it. They're not going to want that.
No, you may send them to a team that's in it in the American League that has a surplus of whatever the Mets feel like they need, you know, okay. like a pitcher.
All right.
Like a, you know, a relief pitcher or something. Who knows? There's all these possibilities, and it's up to David Stearns to try to manage those difficulties and possibilities to keep the team relevant. And I think he owes it to the players, quite frankly. He owes it to Francisco Lindor. He owes it to Jeff McNeil and Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Alvarez and Luis Severino this is a team that could have quit, and they didn't, which is a testament to Carlos Mendoza as well, by the way.
Yes, and getting a starting pitcher now is on that list when it never was with the Kodai Senga injury on Friday night. So that's something that David Stearns was probably thinking, all right, well, at least we got Senga coming back and it's adding to the rotation, like you always said, and making a big trade at the trade deadline, and now he's gone.
Here's the thing I do know about David Stearns, and I talked to somebody that has worked with him and somebody who knows him, that he's a guy that kind of keeps to himself, doesn't really make major proclamations, does not get involved with a lot of the players personally. He tries to be, looking at it from, the 10,000 feet that you need to look at your team and be realistic about what your opportunities are. But here in New York, it's a little bit different than being in Milwaukee. I'm not saying that the fans aren't passionate there. They are passionate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many more fans here and so many more fans that are able to get their opinions out. And, like I always say that this radio station speaks to so many people and it's a voice for so many people that the people that are running their particular organization sometimes get sidetracked because of that.
True.
And have gone down the drain because they have. But because of the way he operates, he's not going to come up here and sit in front of a microphone and say, we're going to try to win championships every year and we're going to see the glass half full or full to the top or whatever.
Fluid to the top.
He's not going to say any of that stuff.
I saw Brody Van Wagenen post on Instagram a picture of him and Luis Rojas. He goes, different uniforms, same friendship. I thought, what a time in Mets history. Brody Van Wagenen and Luis Rojas.
And another thing that bothered me, and I'm sure it bothered you, and I'm sure it bothered Yankee fans, and this goes back to Yankee baseball playing sound fundamental baseball. which seems not to be a care in the world anymore, running through a stop sign.
Yeah.
At third base, and your name is Juan Soto.
Yep.
So what do you say to Juan Soto?
Nothing.
That's the plan. Yeah. What do you say?
Hey, man, what happened there? I just decided to run through it.
Okay. No problem. How hard would
it be? Go get him, kid.
So here's the conundrum for, like, one Aaron Boone. And I know that we sit here thinking that we could handle it differently, and that's it's impossible to even put yourself in Aaron Boone's shoes. Here's a guy that most fans would want and expect the Yankees to retain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you're the manager, and you're trying to keep your job. And you're trying to deal with all these personalities and all these mistakes that are made through a 162-game season. And you can't stand up there in front of the media and start lambasting one of these guys that makes one of these bonehead moves. I mean, so how do you handle that? If you're Aaron Boone, how do you handle that with Juan Soto?
You have a closed-door meeting. Bring him in, just the two of you. Sit him down. So it's not in front of everybody else. You're not embarrassing him. You just get his side of the story and say, hey, listen, I'd like you if you never did that again.
It sounds pretty easy. It ain't that easy.
No, I'm sure it isn't.
It's not. No, and again, you know, so we all see it because everybody's got it on social media. Right? And here he is. He's holding his hands up. Luis Rojas is holding his hands up. Like this.
Yep.
Like you and I could see it. Everybody
could see it. Stop.
And then they highlight Luis Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
They highlight him
in
the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Juan Soto's not even paying attention.
Nope. He's going. Don't care what you say, Luis. I'm Juan Soto. Up yours. I don't think he said any of that, but sounds more interesting than just running through a stop sign.
All right, but again, it's a really tough spot that the managers find themselves in. More so in baseball, maybe. Maybe basketball is probably a little bit worse, but I think baseball is right there when it comes to dealing with these franchise-type players.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.